I want to look, first of all, to the events of the week. The change of leadership at the top of your own party, Neil Richmond, it looks certain now. Simon Harris will be the next Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael, that officially to be announced at 1 o'clock today. You were first out of the traps in issuing an appeal to him to go to this. What's the biggest issue he needs to address in the party to stem the flow of TDs heading for the exit?
Well, I think within the party, people are looking towards the Ardèche on the 6th of April, and they're looking towards the local and European elections. And they want to see guidance from Simon about the candidates that we're putting forward and a very clear message that we're putting out to the people. It's very difficult after 13 years in government not to have an opinion on everything, but people want to see us come back to the real core Fine Gael values. Nothing's going to change in terms of the programme for government, but we do need to emphasise the issues, the values that are important to us, and also in particularly in the ministries that we have control of.
All right. But even after Simon Harris's elevation became clear, it didn't arrest the movement of high-profile TDs towards the exit. Josepha Madigan, Minister of State, announcing that she won't be contesting the next general election. For her, it seems it wasn't enough to change her mind.
Well, I spoke to Josepha. Obviously, we're constituency colleagues. We brought in two seats for the party in Rathdown last time. She had her mind made up over a year ago for very clear political as well as personal reasons. I respect that. I wish her well. But we go in forward now. We've already selected one candidate for the general election. We've dozens more to select. We'll be selecting candidates for the European elections tomorrow in Midlands North West with a brand new candidate, Nina Carberry, that we're all very excited about.
Sure, but I mean, of the TDs you have in the Dáil, around a third of them won't be contesting the next general election. Leo Varadkar said he wasn't the man for the job to carry the party forward, and there are plenty more TDs who say they're not on board to carry the party forward either. What does that say about the state of the party?
Well, I think first and foremost, you have to look at the profile of the TDs that are stepping down. The vast majority of these have been in the Oireachtas for over 20 years. They've been senior ministers. They're past retirement age, literally in terms of their age, and they've given the state and the party an immense amount of service. They will be missed, but there's a plethora of new young candidates coming through. Councillor Thomasina Connell in Laois after Charlie Flanagan, Eileen Lynch in Cork North West after Michael Creed, Sinead right. Shepherd in Cork East.
Sure.
Great talent and abundance.
Sure, but you're going into the local and European elections. There's candidates in Kerry who aren't even contesting the local elections, and the TD there, Brendan Griffin, isn't contesting the general election either. I mean, surely it would be short-sighted or an act of denial to say there's not a very real problem, a crisis even in the party in terms of political representation.
There's certainly no crisis, and I think that use of excessive language isn't helpful. We have selected candidates in every single electoral area, in every single local authority to run and win seats for the party. We're not having gaps around the map. We'll run a full slate of candidates for the European elections, the local elections. We will win seats, okay. And we'll go into the general election.
Your appeal for Simon Harris on Morning Ireland to contest the leadership of Fine Gael seems to have borne fruit. Would you appeal for any of the people who are headed for the exit to contest the general election and reconsider their decision not to?
Well, I think everyone can reflect at this time. And you mentioned Brendan Griffin. Brendan's a great friend of mine. He's only a couple of years older than me. He stepped aside for very clear personal reasons. If there was an opportunity for him to reconsider, I would make that appeal. But there's many others also coming through who are keen to run for the party, perhaps for the first time, or it's their first chance running for national politics.
Right. And the budget really is Simon Harris's only shot, isn't it, to make any kind of a difference. The programme for government is agreed. It's not going to be renegotiated. There's only less than a year left, so it's the budget or nothing to put his stamp on the office of Taoiseach.
I think the budget is the main thing. As you're right, the programme for government isn't going to be renegotiated, and nor should it be, because despite some of the claims of the opposition, the government isn't changing. The government is still the same three parties, it's still the same programme for government, it still has the same ambition and agenda, and we look towards the coming months and the coming budget, as you mentioned, to really zone in on the key issues that are important to our party, be it backing small business, law and order, or building homes.
Okay, I'm going to come to the other people on the panel, Richard Boyd-Barrett and Jennifer Whitmore in just a second, but I'm joined on the line by political reporter with the Irish Independent, Gabia Gadovitz-Gaita. Gabia, you're reporting today, good afternoon to you, that some of the promises Simon Harris is believed to have made to party colleagues in return for their support. What have you learned?
Good afternoon. So yes, it's really quite interesting to learn how the deals were made, really from, you know, Wednesday, I suppose, but Thursday was very much so a crucial day, of course, in paving the way for Simon Harris to become Taoiseach in a couple of weeks' time. So yes, of course, the challenge for him was to try and, you know, get himself put forward as leader. And of course, there were other contenders that wanted to put their names forward. For example, Heather Humphreys, there would have been expectation within the parliamentary party and the wider party as a whole that she would be putting her name forward. But herself and Simon Harris met very early on Thursday morning in Leinster House, and they reached an agreement. One source described them as having a mother-son like relationship, and that agreement forms of three parts, that Heather would, she would remain in cabinet, that she would back Simon Harris, and so he would make her deputy leader Fine Gael in return, and that's what we expect is going to happen.
Is that more of value to him or her?
Well, I think it's a value to both of them. There was a view, I suppose, that Simon Harris was really unstoppable. He knew that this was his chance to be Taoiseach and to be party leader and to be Taoiseach. And so he, I think, wanted to take it with both hands. Minister Humphreys, is, you know, her colleagues are very impressed by her, especially in Fine Gael and the things that she's done in the social protection portfolio. And I think Minister Harris knows that he needs to have her in his cabinet, and just she's a real asset to him.
Okay.
Of course, this cabinet reshuffle now looms for Harris, and that's really going to be one of his first tests as Taoiseach.
Do we know who else got calls, or what was promised to people as the support was being galvanised to support his candidacy?
So I'm told that there was not a deal made with Pascal Donoghue, notably when he put out a statement ruling himself out. He did not back Minister Harris. In Brussels yesterday, he did express his support for Simon Harris to be the leader of Fine Gael. He's saying that he hopes he can stay on in cabinet. You know, what we're kind of hearing is that ministers are being told, look, if you want to stay on in cabinet, you have to run again in the next general election. And that's where Simon Coveney comes into the fold. His career now very much hangs in the balance. Of course, he went for a leader of Fine Gael before, not successful against Leo Varadkar in 2017. And now colleagues seem very much, you know, that they're suggesting that he's not going to run again. And so if he's not going to run again, he's likely to lose out on staying on as Enterprise Minister and staying on in Simon Harris' cabinet.
All right. And some efforts you're reporting today that in your paper that there's been an effort made to maybe get people who have departed to come back in, specifically in the case of Kate O'Connell, who was once upon a time a TD for Dublin Bay South.
Yes, and so Simon Harris has reached out to Kate. You know, interesting to see, you know, is there a space for her there in Dublin Bay South? Is she actually going to come back into the fold? Also, we're hearing, you know, these rumours of maybe he'll bring back some people who have resigned or said that they're not going to run again, you know, technically. And Taoiseach Leo Varadkar did allude to this a little bit in Brussels. He said, you know, you might see some people that have unresigned or who have resigned unresign, and maybe other people may leave. He did kind of hint to this a little bit. So yes, Brendan Griffin is one of those names. I also heard Paul Keogh. You know, I think that would be a big task for Simon Harris. You know, they have said to their constituents they're not running again. They're going to have to try and bring them back now into the fold. So that'll be a challenge, but it'll be an interesting couple of weeks to see how successful he is in those tasks.
All right. What about candidates for promotion, specifically the person sitting beside me here in studio, Neil Richmond?
Yeah, so of course there are a good few names that are being tossed around. Peter Burke, Jennifer Carr McNeill, very much at the front of those, tipped for promotion into cabinet. Of course, Neil Richmond, his colleagues Martin Hayden as well. You know, they're all in the fold there, and there may be a bit of a rejuggle. You know, Brendan Griffin is also a name that's being teased for perhaps government chief whip. You know, currently Hildegard Nocton holds that role. Perhaps she might even go into the further higher education portfolio. A lot of that is very much speculation at this stage among the parliamentary party. But, you know, and again, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar spoke to this, I thought, quite interestingly. In Brussels, he said, you know, when you're elected Taoiseach, it's a great day, but, you know, privately at the back of your head, you're thinking about the reshuffle and you're thinking about the people that you're going to make very happy, but more of them you'll disappoint. So it'll be a tricky one for Simon Harris to get right, but I think it'll be quite a significant reshuffle.
All right, Gabby Gadifitz-Guider from the Irish Independent, thanks very much for joining us. We let Neil Richmond bask for a few moments there in the prospect of promotion. But Jennifer Whitmore, you're calling for a general election now. Would you not be concerned there are major issues at stake in European elections, that a good run-in is needed to that, a decent debate needed, and the public needs to make decisions on big issues that are consuming Europe at the moment, that a general election would frankly be a distraction?
So look, there's obviously major issues at a European level, but we've major issues nationally as well that need to be dealt with. And I think really what was clear from listening to the discussion for the last 5 minutes is that Fine Gael are just tired. A third of their party have already essentially checked out. They're not going to be running again. And it seems to me that the focus is now going to be for Simon Harris to rebuild the party. I don't think that the next, 6 months or 9 months or a year of government should be used to do that. I think we need to go actually to the electorate and ask them.
But if he's rebuilding the party, why would he go to the country?
Well, that's the thing, is whether his focus is the strength of Fine Gael or his focus is actually the country. And I think if he doesn't go to the country, his focus clearly isn't the country. It is more of a focus on Fine Gael and Fine Gael's strength and Fine Gael's ability to run in the next, to be prepared for the next general election. We have major issues in this country that need to be dealt with. We need a government and TDs who actually are focused and want to deal with them and have the energy to do it. And Fine Gael just clearly don't.
All right, Richard Boyd-Barrett, is there not the danger that you're handing the advantage to bigger, frankly wealthier parties by having a general election campaign fought on the heels of a local and European election campaign? The resources are there for parties to do what bigger parties do with the war chests they have in fighting these elections.
Well, they could call it before the local and European elections.
They could, but that would absorb the time to debate the actual important issues that
You'd still have the three weeks. You'd still have the 3 weeks that you normally get in an election campaign. And to be honest, look, we've seen what Fine Gael are made of. They've been in power since 2011. And I'm not terribly interested in the personalities of the moving around of the deck chairs. I mean, Simon Harris has made it absolutely clear he's going to stick to the programme. And in my opinion, and I think increasingly in the opinion of the majority of people in this country, that's a programme that's failed. And it's failed on the most basic things. Housing, obviously, disastrous situation, getting worse.
Sure, but on the logistics of fighting an election, do you have the personnel to do it? You've got a local election, you've got candidates who are going to be put in the field for the local elections, and the normal logical progression would be get them the profile at the local level and then run them in the general election as well. You wouldn't have the time to do that if there was a general election campaign run before the local and European.
Yeah, well, I don't see why you wouldn't. You'd have activists, the same layer of activists. You'd activate the same layer of activists, certainly in our organisation. The people who'll be campaigning for European or local candidates will also be campaigning for people who are running the general election. But I just want to see, like, to me, as I said, I'm not that interested in the personalities. But what we are seeing with the departure of Leo Varadkar and the departure of all these Fine Gael TDs is Fine Gael voting no confidence in themselves, right? A significant number of Fine Gael people don't want to face the electorate. And there's a reason they don't want to face the electorate, is because they know that the people have lost confidence in them and that they don't believe that Fine Gael are capable of dealing with the key problems that are imposing such hardship on huge numbers of people. That's what the meaning of all this is. And I think that's why a general election is the right way to put the issues out there, for people to put their policies out there, and to give people the opportunity to say who we want to lead the country to address those very, very serious problems.
Neil Richmond, our colleague, political correspondent Paul Cunningham, has been in touch with us to say that Paul Keogh has ruled himself out of contesting the next general election in a text to him this morning. So, I mean, there is a number of people who aren't going forward of an age. It does suggest a lack of confidence of a programme that's been presented to the country, an unwillingness to defend the record of the government in a general election and seek re-election.
Well, Paul previously said that he wasn't going to run again. He has been in the Oireachtas for over 20 years. He's been a cabinet minister. He's had a brilliant political career. He made that decision a long time ago. What we have
but
is an opportunity.
But this hasn't changed his mind.
No, and he made his reasons quite clear why he was stepping aside. It wasn't about the leadership, about the party. It wasn't about the direction of the government. It wasn't about policies. What we have now in Fine Gael and the government more widely, but particularly Fine Gael as the party that's been in government the longest of the three, is we have a bit of a step change. This thing is normal. It's a renewal. It's a revitalisation. We will absolutely face the people in due course as per the terms of the Constitution, not the whim of opposition politicians who wanted this government collapsed for the last 4 years continuously.
Part of the reason that people that parties change leader is a sense that maybe there needs to be a renewed relationship with the people, a new way of communicating policy. You mightn't have to have a general election, but if the issue is connecting with the people, then going to the people to get the verdict on the party is surely one way of doing that.
It is one of many ways, but we have a responsibility to see out the term of this government. We have a constitutional obligation, a democratic responsibility to the people who elected this government that commands a majority of the Dáil, right, which is lost on a lot of people.
Are people entitled to think that it smacks of desperation, that you're hanging on for one more budget to try and save the fortunes of the party?
We're hanging on to finish out the term of a government. It's a 5-year government. That's what the people elected us to. We have changed leader. None of us sought Leo to resign, but he chose to do that. We have a new leader incoming. A number of people will be coming through. We have a great team, and we will face the people, not only in June's elections, but in due course in a general election with a very clear programme. And I think we will see a real good progress under Fine Gael in the coming months under Simon Harris.
All right. Politically, Jennifer Whitmore, the government's doing you a favour by not heeding your call to go to the country straight away. It buys you the time to have your candidates in place, and you get to mount your critique of the government based on their entire 5 years in government. It's a win-win situation for the opposition, isn't it?
Oh, I think the problem is we're talking about this in terms of the parties and not the people. We need to see changes, a step change, not just in, you know, Fine Gael's
party. But change
party
can only be brought about surely by a change of parties and a change of policy. So they are actually equally important issues.
Well, that's why we need an election. We need an election. And what the people didn't say to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens, here you have 5 years.
They literally did. They wanted
to see changes in housing. They want people, they want their children, they want children
year,
to be able to afford houses. They want GPs that they can access.
The first time every
they
week.
Want to be able to get
right.
medical
more GPs
help.
Hired.
I mean,
nearly
continue
no,
to talk over me.
No, but
the reality
all right,
is,
okay,
Fianna
Gael, simply incorrect.
Okay, all right, okay. One voice at a time.
Fine Gael have overseen the highest ever rents, highest ever waiting lists and hospitals.
No,
highest
rents have come down 3 years in a row, Jennifer.
No, you're seeing. Absolutely not.
Richard Boyd
Barrett. Why don't you go to the people and ask them what they think?
All right, one voice at a time. Excuse me, one voice at a time. Don't make me ask the sound operator to drop the faders on this now. Richard Boyd Barrett, one voice at a time. Again, the same question to you. The government is giving you the time, a lead into the next general election. You can get your ducks in a row and you can criticise the government on the basis of 5 years in power. Already having called for a general election, it's a win-win situation politically for your party as well.
No, I just don't look at things in that sort of cynical way, right? I mean, I'm very practically focused on helping to build a big raise the roof demonstration on the housing crisis, which is happening in a few weeks' time, because I think the housing situation in this country is so urgent. The homelessness is getting worse by the day. The unaffordability of houses, of rents, the special needs and disability situation is absolutely chronic at the moment. The situation in the health service, right? So we need these issues addressed. And Simon Harris is saying very clearly, we're not changing direction. That's what he's saying, right? We're sticking to the programme. Neil, and we saw it with Leo Varadkar, essentially singing their own praises, saying how well they've done, right? I beg to differ. And I suspect that huge numbers of people who are caught up, young people who are leaving their country now, and there are tens of thousands coming out of college, qualifying in the professions and trades that we desperately need to build this country, and they're exiting en masse to Australia, to Canada, because they think we can't afford to live here anymore. These issues have to be addressed urgently.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on because we're going to take a break, and after that we're going to look at an issue that maybe didn't get as much coverage as it would have done had this leadership change not happened during the week. That's the Committee on Assisted Dying that delivered its report during the week.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.